This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tony Cox. Tax time may not be until April, but now is the time to start getting your tax plan in order. There are decisions to be made for sure, like charitable donations, making big purchases or not, and most of all, sorting out all the paperwork you'll need for filing your return, and of course, putting it where you can find it. It's a chore many of us put off till the last minute, and this year probably is no different. But with the fiscal cliff, you remember that, hanging over all our heads, this year, 2012, year-end tax prep takes on a special meaning. And so we've invited financial expert Louis Barajas to come be with us and give you some tax tips and take a few of your questions. Louis, I hear you've been away. Welcome back from vacation.
Tony, it's a pleasure.
Being prepared is the thing. And in fact, we are talking about preparation. And in this case, we're going to talk about tax preparation. And we have some callers who have some questions for you, Louis Barajas. So let's go to the first one.
Let's hear them out.
This is Andrew, who is calling us from the Big Apple. I think you just made a move. Is that right, Andrew?
Yes, that's right.
San Antonio, Texas to Manhattan.
That's correct. And what an adjustment this is.
That's a big change.
Yeah.
No kidding. In addition to loading up everything I own into a portable storage unit to take out here, I also had to divest myself of every asset that wouldn't fit into it. So, it's been quite the change.
So what question do you have for Lewis?
Most of it relates to this move and how it affects my taxes. I've heard that it's possible to deduct moving expenses from your income. And then I also wanted to know, since I sold my car, San Antonio being a very car-focused city, and moved up to Manhattan, where it would be more of a liability than an asset to have one of those around here. How does the move and selling my car figure into my tax burden and what I can do with my taxes this year?
You know, Andrew, you actually went from one of the lowest places you're going to be taxes, because the state of Texas does not have a state tax return, and now you've moved to New York. And the surprise is going to be now that you're going to have to pay state taxes, but you're also going to have to pay city taxes, or they call them boroughs out there. So my suggestion, have you found a job yet?
I am in the process of looking for one right now. I've got a couple of leads, but nothing that I've gotten an offer on yet.
Okay. So you didn't move out there because you had another job. Most likely you moved out there because of a woman. Am I going to guess here?
In fact, correct. Yes.
You sound like a young guy. I figured you would have moved over there for a woman. Okay, that's great. So technically, if you're going to find another job within the same industry that you're in, you are going to have deductions for moving your, the travel expenses, the moving of your furniture, lodging expenses, except for meals. You don't get meals. But if you're going to go into a different industry, most likely you're not going to be able to take that deduction. And since you really don't have a job out there already, it's going to be difficult for you to take that deduction. But you can still actually take a different kind of deduction. You can take potential job hunting or job search expenses. Okay? And that's another thing. So when you get your taxes done, talk to your tax preparer about that. And so right now, if you're putting together your resume, you're spending money on looking for another job, you're hiring a headhunter, whatever you have to do, save those bills, because you might be able to take those deductions. And the reason why I want you to get a tax projection is because once you start earning income, let's say you're making the same amount of money that you were making back in Texas, in San Antonio, you're going to owe a lot more. And so you need to do estimated taxes, or you're going to have to change your withholdings. That ugly W-4 form that you have to complete when you get a new job. And so maybe in Texas you had single and two or something, or single and one. You might have to put single and zero and have them pull out more taxes from your new job. The other thing is that you said you sold a car, right?
Correct.
So what did you originally purchase that car for?
I paid, I think, about $16,500, and I sold it for exactly a third of that.
Yeah, you're not going to pay any taxes on that as well, okay? So if you're not making money on it, you're good to go.
Oh, great.
Andrea, I hope that helped you out a little bit.
I do believe it did. Thank you very much, Lewis, and thank you, Tony.
Great.
Take care, Andrew.
Thank you for calling. Let's go to another caller. This is Olivia from Cincinnati.
Hi. So excited to be on the show. I listen every week, and my husband and I pretty much plan our lives around listening to Marketplace and Marketplace Money.
Well, we are glad that you do that, and we hope that you would continue. Now, I understand that your call has some sadness to it because of the loss last year of your father-in-law.
Correct. So the question concerns the 529 that we set up for my husband's little brother, who's 8 years old. We set it up on the morning of the funeral so that people would have something to contribute to in lieu of flowers. But despite being avid listeners of the show, we didn't really have time to research and we didn't know what we were doing and didn't even realize that 529s were all about state taxes, not federal taxes. So we just went with the easiest thing and set it up through my husband's Vanguard account, which happens to be based in Nevada. So we're not really planning on taking any advantage of the 529 for our state taxes because it's really convenient for other people to contribute to it the way we have it set up. But we are thinking maybe we could claim that that $3,000 initial investment as a gift to our little brother. What do you guys think about that?
That's a great question. And by the way, for people who are listening and who don't know what a Section 529 plan is, it's a college savings account. And it's tax deferred, meaning you're putting money into the plan, it grows, and then you'll never have to pay taxes on the growth or the interest or the dividends if you use it for tuition, room and board, and other things that the kid will use for college. Now, here's the biggest confusion there is that whenever you gift something to someone, people think that you can take a deduction for it, but you can't actually. And the person who receives the gift doesn't have to claim it as taxable income to them. That was your concern, right? If I'm giving them that money, will I be able to deduct it, correct?
Well, yeah. Well, I kind of remember something on Shawshank Redemption, I think, about a one-time gift to someone. So that's where the question came from.
Right. And technically, you'll hear that if you give money to someone, and for 2012, it's going to be $13,000. If you give more than $13,000 to a child, let's say you did, you must file a gift tax return, and that's correct. Now, the gift tax return is just for informational purposes only, because what happens is when people pass away, they have an exclusion amount. Now, right now in 2012, we have the exclusion amount is $5,120,000. And Tony, you were talking about that fiscal cliff,
right?
That beginning January 1st, if they don't, Congress doesn't pass it, extend this, it goes back down to $1 million of assets. When you die over $1 million, then you must pay estate taxes on that. So in this situation, since you're only gifting $3,000, there's no gift tax return. You can give $13,000. Your husband could give $13,000, and you don't have to worry about any kind of reporting.
Yeah, definitely.
Olivia, thank you very much. We're very sorry for your loss, and good luck with
thank
what
you.
You're trying to do. It's a good thing. We have another caller. This is Leslie from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Leslie, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my question.
We appreciate having you call in. What can Luis Barajas help you answer?
Well, unfortunately, in December of last year, I ended up being in a car accident. And one thing that resulted from this is I ended up being a plaintiff in a lawsuit. And the question that I'm trying to figure out is that I have medical expenses that have been accrued in 2012, but the settlement's not going to happen until 2013. So I'm trying to figure out really how to handle the taxes related to expenses, what I can deduct, what I should deduct, as well as also taxes on the settlement. And a major reason for me trying to figure this out is I just graduated and my student loans are going to be kicking in soon. And I don't want to do anything that might artificially inflate my income.
Leslie, first, are you okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So it's a great question, and it's actually a loaded question. There's a lot of things to talk about. We'll go through them quickly. First of all individual taxpayers are cash basis taxpayers, meaning that you must take the deduction in the year that you spent the money and you must include the income in the year that you get the money. In your situation, you spent the money in medical bills in 2012. So you will take them this year. And the form that you take them in is a Schedule A and under the medical section. But remember, the first 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, which is the last number on the front page of your tax return or the very top number of the second page of the tax return, whatever that is, I'll make it real simple. Let's say you were making $100,000, 7.5% is $7,500, correct? If you had spent $7,000 in medical bills, you would not get a nickel of deduction. Now, is it deductible? Yes. But do you get to take the deduction? No. Now, let's say that you get income in 2013. Now, it depends on what the settlement was for. If it was for lost wages, the money must be declared and it's taxable.
Okay.
If it were for medical bills, anything above and beyond that you were able to deduct, let's say that you were able to deduct $2,000 and the settlement was $3,000, then you would have to report $1,000 of taxable income. But most likely it's never over the medical bill amount, and so it's never really taxable. if the money that you're receiving is for physical injuries or pain and suffering, it's tax-free. You don't have to report it.
Okay.
If it's for emotional and mental anguish, it's taxable. If it was for property damage, they're paying you because they hit your car. It's generally not taxable. And if there's punitive damages, going after the person who you think went after you maliciously, then it is taxable. So you can see how there's different ways of how you characterize what happened to you and how you're going to report that income. That's why it's important, I think, that you actually have somebody who knows what they're doing. And you always want to find an accountant who's a specialist in taxes, because not all CPAs do tax returns. So they may not increase, unless it's a huge settlement, increase your taxes. Now, you're saying, well, what about my student loans? Now I'm going to have to start paying on them, correct?
Right. And I'm looking forward to the income-based student loans, and so that's why I don't want it to go up.
Well, yeah, I understand that. And, one of the things that you also understand, that you're going to pay interest on these student loans, correct?
Correct.
So you're going to be able to take those as a deduction as well. So that's something you want to take a look at.
That's wonderful. Leslie, unfortunately, our time is up, so we have to say goodbye to you. But I hope this was helpful, and thank you for calling us.
Great. Thank you so much.
Louis, it was good talking to you. Louis Barajas, financial expert, is author of the book My Street Money, A Street-Level View of Managing Your Money from the Heart to the Bank. Louis, again, thank you very much, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Tony. Thank you so much.